I'm a big believer in some sort of a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, it has been for our people since the beginning of time for a reason. Things like Vision Quest, which is Humblechi Yapi, to cry for a vision. And you don't know why they call it that until you go out on yours. You know, 4 days, four nights, no food, no water, no shelter. And I've never had a more clarifying experience in my life.
Welcome to the Spartan Up Podcast, hosted by Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race, and brought to you by Wild Health.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up Podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Get fully personalized healthcare based on your DNA, biometrics, and blood work with Wild Health, the official healthcare provider of Spartan. Go to wildhealth.com and use the code SPARTAN10 to save 10%. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Titan Fitness, the official partner of Spartan North America. From sandbags to power racks, visit titanfitness.com and use the promo code SPARTAN to save 5% on your next order and get free shipping. The number one workout recovery blend in America is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. Fit8 Energy is naturally sweetened with only 15 calories, no sucralose, no aspartame, and no compromises. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and use the code SPARTANENERGY to save 20% when you sign up for a subscription today.
Joe DeSena, CEO and founder of Spartan and the Spartan Up Podcast, where we rip you off the couch and get you moving. My guest today, DJ Vanas, is going to do just that. Just wrote a book called The Warrior Within. Veteran, right? Native American, overall badass. Tell me, what is a warrior? Like, how do we define warrior?
The way that I've always presented this in the work I've been doing for over 25 years is to share that warrior role from our tribal perspective. Not the typical Hollywood image that we see, you know, the sweaty, chiseled figure that's, you know, strutting down the street and shooting bazookas and knocking down buildings and occasional surly looks at the camera, you know, all in the name of glory. It's a different type of role. My people, my tribe, we call a warrior Ogichi Da. And that term has nothing to do with what we see in movies and TV. It's a role that was based on service. It was somebody who was willing to fight for something bigger than self. Somebody who was willing to ask the question and deliver on the question of not what can I get, but what can I do for somebody else? Somebody who led by example. And at the end of the day, somebody who dedicated their life to service to their tribe, to their people. It was all about making a contribution. So that's what the warrior role comes from. And it transcends age, race, gender, stage of life. These principles that I share in the book are available for anybody willing to, you know, take on the call and follow those guidelines.
So somebody willing to do for something bigger than themselves,
mm-hmm.
never give up even when the going gets tough.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? Never compromise.
Yeah.
Because we get lots of opportunities to compromise in life. And I love there's a great saying that really is very poignant about that, which is, here are my principles. If you don't like those, I have others.
Nice. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. And part of that, you know, delivering on our commitment is that discipline piece, which I know is near and dear to your heart. It's dealing with our own fear. You know, it's facing fear with courage, which is a whole chapter in the book, because where would a warrior be without courage to face the thing that scares us head on? And there's one of the traditions I talk about with the Plains tribes, where there's a tradition called counting coup, which is more honorable in battle than actually striking an enemy down. And what it meant was you come up to an enemy during live combat and simply touch them, either with your hand or with a coup stick. And that was it. And because of what it required ultimate courage to stand toe to toe with the thing that scares you and say, I'm not afraid of you. I'm so not afraid, I'm not even going to harm you. And when we can do that in our own lives, then we can deliver day in and day out on the commitments we make to other people. When the times get tough, when the fear shows up, when things get really, really hard and we don't want to get out of bed in the morning, we still find a way to keep moving forward just one step at a time.
I spent some time recently with the head of the Special Forces Group, and he said to me, you know, Joe, one of the things we have to learn to do more, especially in this world of technology, is close the gap between human beings. And that's the ultimate form, what you just described, of closing the gap on the battlefield and touching the enemy.
Yeah. And keeping in close touch with our friends. You know, that's one of the things I talk about in the book too, is warriors never fought alone. And the reason why is because that's dumb. You're only ever going to accomplish so much in life working on your own. When you surround yourself with other warriors and stay in close contact with them, and it's hard to stay high touch in an era of high tech. You know, it's so easy to farm it out, to mail it in, to, you know, shoot a tweet to a friend who's in struggle instead of calling them up and saying, hey, Joe, what's going on? How, you know, I know you're struggling right now. I want to let you know that I'm here for you. So that's the ultimate test. You know, we're all busy. We live in a chaotic world, a lot of distraction. But when we can stay in touch with each other, not only are we contributing to our tribe, but we benefit tremendously. We become a better version of ourselves, a stronger, more courageous, more clear version of ourselves in that warrior role as well.
I asked them, I had a professor from Cambridge in Sparta, Greece years ago, and I asked him how they did it. How did the Spartans stay so strong and so committed? And he said they figured out very early on that everybody had to be bought in. Like they all had to be bought into living that life, because if not, it just became, you had dissent, right? And so that's a little bit of what you're saying regarding being around other warriors. It's hard for people to stay motivated and disciplined and committed.
Yeah. And that connection serves us so well. You know, peer pressure we talk about with our kids or when we're younger, peer pressure is alive and well in our adult lives, and we can leverage it to a great benefit when we're surrounded by the right people. You know, I was taught traditionally by my elders that we're a lot more like bees and ants than we are like eagles. You know, we need each other. We're better when we're with each other. And let me be clear on that, when we're with the right people, you know, but having that commitment, you know, being in our circle, our tribe, and being all in is critically important, because if you know that you're all in and the person to your right and left is too, you know, you keep each other to that level of expectation, to that standard. And that is really important because we all struggle. We all doubt. We doubt what we're doing. We doubt ourselves. And we have those people in our lives. They help keep us up, and we're able to do the same thing for them. We all benefit.
I'm big, and I'm sure you're big on helping, you know, the next generation, these young kids. We've got a Spartan death camp we put on for kids every summer. It just sounds so scary that they're attracted to it.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer, but maybe, I mean, you'd be closer to this than I am. I'm a big believer in some sort of a rite of passage. So how do you think about that, especially having, you know, your Native American background?
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, it has been for our people since the beginning of time for a reason. And when we don't have rites of passage, I mean, we still have rites of passage, but now with young people, it's the first time you know, have a drink, the first time you have sex, the first time, you know, there's rites of passage, but they're not the ones that were based on tradition and ceremony, where you're actually doing it on purpose and by design so that you elevate your character, your expectations, your responsibility level. So rites of passage are critically important. You know, the ones that I went through traditionally, things like Vision Quest, which is Humblechi Yapi, to cry for a vision. And you don't know why they call it that until you go out on yours. You know, 4 days, 4 nights, no food, no water, no shelter. It's you in the area the size of a tabletop in the middle of the wilderness with just your blanket, your prayer pipe, and that's it. And I've never had a more clarifying experience in my life. You know, the whole purpose of that is to pray for direction, for clarity in your own life and on your journey. And man, I'm telling you, Joe, that was the ultimate let the dirt settle in your mud puddle type of experience. I mean, that's what put me here in front of you today. I mean, it was a life changer in so many different ways. But those are really important because it lets people know this is a time in your life where things are now going to change. The expectations have changed. And you can do this. And, you know, people are there to support. It's a very, you know, I think it's a very important chapter in people's lives. And without that, we kind of drift.
You just gave me an idea for our death race. our adult death rays. I got to put them out there for 4 days just on a blanket and a prayer pipe. I like that a lot.
It's hard. It's hard, man. That's tough. And the thing is, it's going without water. You know, I mean, I worked in a, I mean, went through and then taught during our combat survival school in the military. And, you know, the, you know, rule of thumb is after 3 days without water, you can die. And so if I was just going to do that for, you know, just, I'm going to go without water right now, I couldn't do it. But in ceremony, during a rite of passage like that, there's something else that you pull out. There's reserves that you don't know that you have until you go through something like that. So, but that was the hardest part, was going without water. Man, I tell you, you want to reprioritize your life and really know what's important? That's number one.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I did races, which don't sound as awful at all as just sitting there without food and water for 4 days. But, I remember getting to a place of peace when I just wanted water, food, and shelter. So, all the nonsense, all the material things, all these things we think are so important just melt away.
Yeah.
And as some, by the way, there's something really refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what a great way to get clarity back on life. What really matters, what's really important. And we get so wrapped up in the minutia, in the petty, the frivolous, the stuff that we won't even remember next week, let alone next year. And we miss out on the moments where we could actually enjoy what we have right in front of us, you know, to have those reflections on gratitude and just say, man, you know, for me, drinking a glass of water was never the same. You know, anytime I have, you know, a drink in my hand and I'm able to have access to water, there's a little spark of gratitude that comes up. And that's important. You know, we need more of that in life.
It's funny. This summer, I have a couple of buddies that I get together with once a year, and we do some sort of form of exercise. And this summer was meet us out in Long Island. We're going to run 65 miles over 3 days. Not the most difficult thing, but hard. And it was hot. And unbeknownst to me, I got COVID right before, and I couldn't tell the guys no. So I only found out afterwards. But I remember on day two, really hot, really tired, really thirsty. We had no money on us. We were just out there running, sweating. And some woman was selling fruit on this, and I convinced her to give me a little bunch of grapes. Mm-hmm. Those are the greatest grapes I have ever had.
Ever, like, right?
Ever. Yeah, yeah. All I can think about is how great. I'm a believer. I don't know if this comes up in the book at all, but I'm a believer that if we want happiness, right, we're all chasing happiness, and most of us, the majority of the world, thinks it comes with more stuff.
Yeah.
If I can only get that house, only get that car, if I could get that job. And then you get the job, and then you want the other job, and you get that amount of money, and you want. I believe happiness actually comes in the reverse, where you take stuff away, and then you get reintroduced that glass of water or those grapes, and you are the happiest motherfucker alive.
Yes, like, yes,
right.
You pull it all away, and that is so important. And you know, when people actually understand that, you know, when my life gets chaotic, when things get stressful, I have learned through practice and through the years and through ceremonies like that to slow down and to get really quiet. And when I'm able to do that, I get back to that place where I'm rooted, I'm grounded again, and start letting that stuff, you know, kind of open my hands and let that stuff go. But that's really what it comes down to. Life is painfully simple, or can be. We overcomplicate everything. And then we play that mad race. That's cruel, I think, to ourselves, where it's the carrot at the end of the stick that we never allow ourselves a bite of. I'll be happy when. Oh my God, I've heard conversations like that through decades of, I'll be happy when. You know, and then we get there and they're like, now what? You know, it's like happiness isn't a goal, it's a choice. And it's available in any given moment in our life, no matter what we're going through. And I know that for a fact as well, working with, you know, buddies who have PTSD, have lost limbs, people going through cancer, have been in terrible accidents, lost people. You can still choose happiness in any moment. But we got to remove the expectation on what that looks like. You know, it's all around us. You know, drinking a glass of water, being able to get a good night's sleep, being in safety. You know, I mean, you know how many people in the world get access or use toilet paper? It's like I read this stat the other day. It's 20%. That's a luxury item, man. It's like, you know, when you have something like that in your life, it's there's so many reasons to be grateful and happy. We just overcomplicate it.
You just gave me a great idea for my house. I'm getting rid of all the toilet paper this week. I'm gonna level up. If 80%
that's
of the world
truly getting Spartan, man. That's really getting Spartan.
I'm gonna put sandpaper everywhere around the house.
It builds character, Joe. I'm sure it will. Yeah.
Let's try to. I want people to read the book, so I don't want to give too much away. But I think everybody deep down inside wants to be a warrior. We know it's within, right? It's there. We're all warriors deep down inside. We probably learn helplessness in the lives we live, the way society's set up these days,
yeah,
good and bad. Look, I think our young men in this country, it's become a big topic of discussion, could use a little warrior inside of them, some training. It seems to be they've lost their sense of purpose, or at least that's what the media is telling us. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, we live in a world where things are so easy now. Everything's at the click of a button. You know, we're overstimulated. I think the speed of life is the speed of light. And it's so easy to get inundated with stuff, most of which is completely irrelevant or useless. And I think there's distraction there. You know, you get a certain amount of time and energy each day. You know, where we put it counts for everything. How we spend it determines our results. But when you're running around a million different directions and we're checking our social media feeds and we do, you know, have 12 different platforms, and when we get to the end of the 12th one, we go back and refresh and start reading them again. I mean, this is the lifestyle that some people are living, and they wonder why they feel anxious and depressed and alone and isolated. We're living in a digital world, and we're getting away from the things that make us who we are as human beings. You know, we need connection. We need engagement. We need to be doing something physically every day with our bodies. I mean, this is, you know, we're getting away from our purpose. And, you know, with young people that are coming up now, you know, having a sense of discipline, you know, things are tough. But what you put, you know, getting through things not only gives you confidence, but you get better results in your life when you do that. And it takes practice. Surrounding yourself with the right people, critically important. You know, that's always, you know, birds of a feather flock together. The reason why we keep saying that, and we have through generations, is because it's flipping true. You know, it really is. I mean, that's, and you got to choose your flock and look around and see who you're surrounding yourself with. Do they have high or low standards? You know, and for young people, I mean, the book lays out these principles. You know, it's 10 chapters of these warrior principles in action, how to apply them in your life, how to use them to create a path forward so that you can contribute and, you know, be that person that we all really at the end of the day want to be and are designed to be. You know, we're not here for us. You know, service is our highest calling. If we're not here for that, why are we here at all? You know, and so that's, yeah. And so I think that's something that I think young people, they come to it in time, but the earlier we understand that truth in life, the better off we are.
What are five things folks could do to kind of bring out that warrior?
First of all, understand that role, what it's all about. You know, the clear role of a warrior was to feed and protect their people, not to feed and protect their ego.
You might be surprised to find out what foods affect your blood sugar the most. Hi, I'm Dr. Julie Fouché from Wild Health. New technology called continuous glucose monitoring allows us to determine how certain foods and behaviors impact your blood sugar and your overall health. This is a small device that's worn on your body and paired with a smartphone app, so you can see how your blood sugar fluctuates throughout the day in response to different foods, exercise, and other stressors. Now, everybody responds differently, which is why it's important to do these experiments on yourself. So for example, I may eat oatmeal and have a huge blood sugar spike afterwards, where you may eat the same bowl of oatmeal and nothing happens to your blood sugar. Pairing our carbohydrates with a healthy fat and a protein will usually decrease the blood sugar response. So for example, if you have that oatmeal with some almond butter, it'll probably have less of an impact on your blood sugar. Also, if you pair your eating with exercise, even taking a short walk after dinner, that can blunt your blood sugar response as well. And then finally, most people will notice that if they're sleep deprived or experiencing a lot of stress, their blood sugar becomes a lot more volatile as well. So making sure you're getting enough sleep and doing things to mitigate stress can go a long way. So use these tips and talk to your doctor to see if they can prescribe you a continuous glucose monitor. You might be really surprised at what you learn.
Get fully personalized healthcare based on your DNA, biometrics, and blood work with Wild Health.
So that's the first thing, is to be clear on what that role meant. It's a role that you're dedicating your talent and ability over a lifetime, developing that so that you can be an asset or a benefit to the tribe that you serve. Number two, critically important to use the resources that you have in any available moment. Warriors could do something as simple as grab a stick and a rock and make something useful out of it. You know, we bitch and complain all the time about the things that we don't have. And again, thinking tribal centrically about our resources means that you leverage right now in this moment what you have in you and around you to create what you want to see. And we always have more than we need, you know, but when you can pick up a stick and a rock and make something like this that can, you know, go get dinner or defend your village, that's pretty amazing. So leveraging your resources is critically important, and seeing them for what they are. Three, self-care is critically important. You know, I say it very adamantly in my book that you cannot be a warrior when you're falling apart. It doesn't work. Intentions be damned. The execution is what gets messed up, where we go and give it all away and we're contributing and we leave nothing in reserve for ourselves. And we end up burned out, apathetic, or have health issues. We can't do that. You know, you are the only you that you will ever have or be in this world. Act accordingly. You know, you really want to deliver the goods, you got to put yourself in a position to do so. Four, just like what we talked about before, warriors never fought alone. They fought in the company of other warriors. You want to be brave, surround yourself with bravery. You want to be courageous, you know, act accordingly. You want to be, you know, weak and focus on gossip and focus on, you know, the fears in the world and the sky is falling. Hang out with that set or watch the news. It's everywhere. We get to choose our path. I had an elder years ago tell me our spirits are like sponges. They soak up whatever they're around, and we get to choose what that is, and we should. Mm. And the last thing is, you know, in that warrior role is remember that everything you do, everything you build, everything you learn isn't for you. Ultimately, it's that transitioning from a warrior to an elder, where you're reaching back and you're helping somebody else get to where, not only where you are, but beyond. And that's what our elders always did in our tribes, is when they couldn't physically uphold the warrior role anymore, they didn't retire, they just transitioned. And they went into that elder role where they're giving their knowledge away, they're sharing wisdom, values, virtues, leadership by example, you know, which is extremely powerful for somebody else that's coming up behind them. And it wasn't just a magical age that you punch your card and you're now officially an elder. It was a role that was, you know, followed on purpose with purpose. And it was all about benefiting the tribe. And so that's something that is critically important in that role too, and allows us to continue our contribution regardless of our age or stage of life.
I don't know. I think people outside looking in think that warriors just have it easier in some ways, right? They're just wired different. And I think it requires work. Tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. All day, every day. I mean, I'm going through hell right now with our business, right? Coming out of COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, folks looking from the, oh my God, you got this giant global business, 45 countries. It's like, it's a battle internally and externally all day, every day.
Yeah.
And when I think about what's kind of kept me on the path, it's having a purpose bigger than myself. Like if you don't have that, I would have quit 20 times, 50 times.
That's it. When you keep the long view in mind, it allows us to keep our head up and keep moving even as we're stumbling and getting the wind knocked out of us. But that warrior role, it requires commitment. You know, you got to be all in. And the beautiful thing is when you are, you attach yourself, like you said, to something bigger that pulls you through the mud. Always find a way forward, you know, even if you're crawling, even if you're pulling your body, you know, you're low crawling, you know, just even a little bit in a day. You know, that's one of the things I tell people when they're in struggle. I mean, we've all been there, but if you're stumbling in the right direction, it's still the right direction. You know, we don't have to do it all. Yeah, we don't have to do it all in a day. We just have to, you know, keep moving forward somehow, some way. But when we over romanticize it, we make it inaccessible, but it's a role that's there for any of us. But it helps us stay strong in our commitments when we know that we're channeling something bigger than us.
I love it. Where are you physically located?
San Diego, California.
You're in San Diego. And
yeah.
home of the Warriors that are slowly getting soft because it's nice temperatures and good beaches.
Man, it is amazing. I'm a Michigander. I'm from Michigan. And yeah, I'm cold weather people by design. But man, it is amazing how quick you can adjust to warm weather.
I know. I just moved down to Orlando, and I went up to Syracuse this weekend, and I was cold, and I said, "Oh my God, you've literally become helpless in 9 months."
Yeah, you get soft, and your blood gets thin.
All four of my kids are now doing the 4-day rite of passage: no water, no food.
Yeah. I'm going to put small print at the end of this interview. Like, I am not responsible for any decisions Joe is making at this point. Yeah.
All right. You're awesome. How do people find you?
Nativediscovery.com is my website. And then as far as getting the book, The Warrior Within, it's out through Penguin Random House. So anywhere books are sold. And if you're too busy to read, I'll read the whole darn thing to you. I narrated the audio version. And there's a bonus at the end of the audio, an interview that I do with one of my best friends, Dr. Kevin Basic, who is a classmate of mine from the Air Force Academy. And we have a great discussion. He's now the director for the National Medal of Honor Institute outside of Dallas, Texas. But we have a great back and forth for about an hour and 20 at the end. And we go deeper, you know, with the ideas and tell some new stories. But nativediscovery.com is the best way to get a hold of me.
Love it. Thank you, sir. It's been awesome.
Thank you. Chi McGuetch. Thank you very much.
Chi McGuetch.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Titan Fitness, the official partner of Spartan North America. From sandbags to power racks, visit titanfitness.com and use the promo code Spartan to save 5% on your next order and get free shipping. The number one workout recovery blend in America is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. Fit8 Energy is naturally sweetened with only 15 calories, no sucralose, no aspartame, and no compromises. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and use the code SPARTANENERGY to save 20% when you sign up for a subscription today.